Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
This is Barry Katz, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. I am so glad you tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you had a chance to listen to writer Laura House last week and her story about getting a juice cleanse. Now, did any of you guys heed her advice and do a juice cleanse? I had juice this morning. Does that count? If you haven't heard Laura's story, go back and listen to that. But today's story is brought to us from manager Barry Katz, and it's titled Over Deliver. You guys, this is a fantastic story. It's actually two stories. The first part of the show, he talks about losing his wife. It's an intense story. And then he tells another story, the second story, about Magic Johnson. And it is just, it's just so inspirational. It's just an amazing, wonderful show. And if you're in Hollywood, especially if you're a writer, a comic, a producer, or if you just want some straight up good information, I recommend Barry's podcast, Industry Standard. It's really good. It's behind the scenes of Hollywood and how it works. But Barry in general is just a really uplifting, level-headed, smart, philosopher kind of guy. So you're really going to like today's story. I also want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. That would be great. I shouldn't have to remind you, but I will. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram there. And then also head over to my website, storyworthypodcast.com, before you shop on Amazon. Because, you know, when you click on that banner, it gives me a few pennies and it doesn't affect anything on your end. Yeah? Great. Okay, let's get right to Barry's story. Now, Barry is a Hollywood manager, like I said, and he has brokered over 100 television development deals during his career while creating three television series. He's also been an executive producer on over 50 different TV stand-up specials, documentaries, reality, and scripted series, including 7 seasons of the NBC series Last Comic Standing. Like I said, he also has a fantastic and successful podcast called Industry Standard. Like I said, it's a one-of-a-kind weekly inspirational podcast that features an insider's look at Hollywood from a totally different perspective. You can find Industry Standard on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts, like this one right now. And you can find Barry over on Twitter at Barry Katz. All right, you guys, here he is right now, the amazing, the talented Barry Katz.
I started in comedy. I started as a stand-up comedian. But I think I'm going to tell a couple of stories that are not necessarily comedic. The first story I want to tell is something that to let you know that anything that happens to you in your life that's bad, and I've had a lot of things happen to me that's bad, it's well documented. I've been fired by many, many artists, and I've been hired by many artists. And I've had a lot of personal things happen to me that have been difficult, like all of you have. And one of the things that is interesting about our lives is that when we're younger, our parents try to shelter us from all the things that are negative or that are bad that happen. They don't really prepare us for what's going to happen. They try to make everything right for us. And my message in this first story is the fact that When bad things happen to you, there's a reason for it. You don't know why, but there's a reason. So the first story I'm going to tell is a story that was one of the most difficult times in my life. One of my dogs was killed by a coyote in my yard, and I have 2 boys, 10 and 11. And I was teaching a comedy class for them the next day that, you know, that I do every year for them. And I couldn't tell them. And so I held it inside. I had this anxiety inside that many of you felt in your personal life and your professional life, but I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't want to tell them, so I held it in after the comedy class, and then I had to wait till the next day, and I met them at a park, and I knew I was going to tell them, and it was really, really difficult to figure out what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. And so when I met with them in the park, I told them that their dog was killed by a coyote, and what's the weird and odd thing is that my mom had passed away about 6 months earlier, and I hadn't cried yet. You know, sometimes you just don't experience that feeling of how you're going to release something that you need to get released, but you don't know when or how. And it just never came out until I started telling my sons, and I started crying, like hyperventilating, crying in front of them. And my sons turned into a parent. And they hugged me and they said, "Daddy, don't cry. It's not your fault. You didn't do it. Don't be sad. Please don't cry, Daddy. It's okay. It's okay, Daddy." And they turned into the parent, as I said. And then I thought to myself, how am I going to show them how bad things happen and then they turn into good things? And I hugged them and I said, "I want to tell you a story that you know part of." I said, "When your dad was 26 years old, he was married to a girl who was 23, and unfortunately, she passed away. And at that point in time that she died, your dad spent a lot of time in bed. He didn't know what to do. He just was depressed all the time. And he couldn't imagine how it was possible that the world would take away a person who was 23 years old. And at the time, just like you both, you don't understand why the world took away your dog. And at the time, I didn't understand why one day I was talking to somebody, I was holding somebody, I was telling somebody I love them, and the next day they were gone. And as I hugged them tighter, I said, "But the reality is at the point when that happened, I didn't understand what the reason was. None of you who are listening or here live understand what the reason is why you're fired from your job, or why some best friend that you have all of a sudden cuts you off and you don't know why, or there's something else that happens in your life that you just can't figure out what it is or how you're gonna respond to it, because it doesn't make any sense." And I said to my sons, I said, "Listen, if my first wife hadn't passed away, I wouldn't be sitting here right now looking into the eyes of my children. And the world has a strange way of working. And on that particular day, the world took my first wife, but there was a master plan, something that I didn't realize. And the plan was that eventually I was going to meet somebody else, and I was going to have you guys, and you were going to bring joy into my life." And so for all of you out there listening, the point of this first message is, whatever adversity you're going through or whatever things that have happened in your life that have taken your knees out from under you, just know that there's a reason for it and there's something positive that's going to come forward. And I can guarantee you that because it happened to me. So that's my first story. And my second story has to do with adversity too, but it has to do with a positive side of adversity that'll probably lighten things up a little bit, as you guys are probably in a coma right now. I got the pleasure of hanging out with an amazing man a couple of days ago, Irvin Magic Johnson. And Magic, as you know, was diagnosed with HIV about 20, 25 years ago. And when I talked to him, it was an incredible time I had with him. And he spoke to a group of people that sponsor my podcast. And he had a message that I loved. And I'm going to share that message with all of you. For your personal lives and your business lives, his message was really simple. Two words. Over-deliver. And if you over-deliver in your lives and in your business life and your personal life, his message was you'll always succeed. And he told these amazing stories, and I'll share a few of them with you. Just the trajectory of his life and how he over-delivered. When he was in high school, he was a prodigy. But before high school, he was really, really good, and he was poised to go to the number one high school in East Lansing, Michigan. Unfortunately, court-ordered busing happened, and he was forced to go to a white school that was the worst basketball team in Michigan. And he said to himself, I have to over-deliver. I have to figure out how to take this team and win a state championship. And within the next 3 to 4 years, he worked with this team. He had a work ethic. He did what he had to do. And they won the state championship for the first time in the history of the school. And then he decided he wanted to go to college. And all the coaches came calling. Mike Krzyzewski from Duke, Roy Williams, John Calipari. But he decided he wanted to stay home, close to his mom and her favorite chicken dish. And so he went to Michigan State, a program that hadn't won a national championship in God knows when. And every year they got a little bit closer, but they lost. And in his final year at the school, they went to the championship game against a blonde white guy from Indiana State named Larry Bird. And their team was 33-0. And Magic found the will to win the national championship for Michigan State. And then he told the story of how he was drafted by the Lakers and how he came in as a rookie and he was always a leader. And he thought when he got there, how am I going to lead? I've got Kareem, I've got Worthy, I've got all these amazing players. How am I ever going to lead these people? I mean, they'll look at me like I'm crazy. And he thought to himself, how do I over-deliver without stepping on any toes? So he got the practice schedule, and it said show up at 10 o'clock every day the first week. But he decided that he was going to show up at 7 a.m. every day and work hard for those 3 hours before the practice. Because in his mind, he'd played against Larry Bird, and he hated playing against Larry Bird. Because Larry Bird was the only player that he knew that worked as hard as he did, had the work ethic that he had. If you know anything about Larry Bird, after every practice, every game, he would go back on the court, and he had a little game he played with himself. The game was, I get to go home when I make 100 free throws in a row. If I clang number 99... I don't get to go home. And Magic knew that about Larry. And so when he got to the pros, he knew he was going to have to be the best he could be. So showing up at 7 a.m. was the only way he knew how to do it. After 3 days, the coaches gathered all the players around, including Kareem, and said, you know, guys, Magic is showing up at 7 a.m. every day. You guys are showing up at 10. Well, that's what it says on the schedule. We're supposed to show up at 10. Yeah, but from now on, we're going to have all of you show up at 7. And they all hated Magic at that point. But he realized that he had to change the culture because the Lakers hadn't won in over a decade. And that year, because of his work ethic and his will and over-delivering, they got to the finals against Moses Malone in Philadelphia. And they were about to fly to the fifth game where they were ahead 3-2 in Philadelphia, which is a brutal place to play. And as Magic tells it, Kareem, they found out, had sprained his ankle and he couldn't play. And he was the greatest player in the world. And they had to play against Moses Malone, one of the greatest centers. All the players were dejected. Fate had shined upon them negatively. They were never going to win without Kareem. But Magic thought to himself, what can I do? What can I do to get these people up and figuring out that they can do it? So he got up early and went to the private jet flying to Philadelphia. And he decided he was getting on first and he would sit in Kareem's seat. And as all the players came on, he said to everybody, hey, I'm in the chair now. I'm in Kareem's seat. You can ride my coattails. We're going to win this championship. And lighten them all up. They were laughing. And Magic stood in for Kareem at center, even though he was 6'9". And that night in Philadelphia, he scored 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and they won the world championship. He over-delivered. And the message that he said was just so incredible about that, about how he always goes forward and does the extra thing to take things to the next level. And I think to myself a lot of times, and I think about Christine and I think about Hannes, and you don't understand what it takes to put together a show like this, because like them, I started at zero, and their audience is now massive and huge, and people love them because they over-delivered.
Okay, was that inspirational or what? Two great stories in one right there. And both of those stories stick with me, especially the stuff with Magic Johnson. And I think about him doing those free throws. And I think about his tenacity and his stick-to-itiveness and his, I don't know, it's just fantastic. You know, there's another show that if you like the way the show went today and the way, you know, Barry was talking and that kind of inspirational talk, I want to recommend one more podcast to you. It's called Finding Mastery. Finding Mastery. It's on Wondery here, and it's with a host named Michael Gervais, and he is a doctor in psychology and sports medicine, and he talks to athletes about, you know, how they take it to the next level. So it's not just any... it's not just anybody telling a story. It's people who are at the very, very, very top of their game. It's just fascinating. You should check that out as well. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank our storyteller again, the amazing Barry Katz. And again, you can find Barry on Twitter at Barry Katz. And why not tweet him and let him know that you liked his story on Storyworthy. And then you can tweet me as well at Storyworthy. It's very simple. Come on, you guys, let's chat. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by comedian Jennifer Valley and her story, I Love Weed.
I love weed. Pot, marijuana, Mary Jane, reefer, ganja, whatever you want to call it, I like it. I like it in joint form, pipes, vaporizers, but my favorite is the good old-fashioned bong rip. Now I hear you saying, oh, do you have to be buzzed? Yes, I do.
Funny stuff, you guys. Don't miss Jennifer Valley next week on Storyworthy. All right, I want to thank everybody over here at Wondery today, including our sound engineer, Sergio Enriquez. And on behalf of our storyteller, Barry Katz, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.